Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to yet another episode of the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder. Welcome to another week, another thought-provoking time, I hope. I hope you're getting something out of this series. If it's your first time tuning in, we are on the third installment of our series called Dark Days. We're exploring depression. We're exploring anxiety and other realities surrounding mental health and the mental health world. Today, we're going to camp out on these questions that I brought up last week in our discussion. And our topic is called today, Brain or Consciousness? Brain or Consciousness? You see, as part of our way out to finding a healthier perspective towards exploring an alternative approach to solving our emotional and behavioral problems, rather than the traditional behavioral sciences of psychology or brain science and chemistry alteration. If there's another approach, we'd like to know what that is, but what's it based on? I mean, if one is based on science and research, and the other one is based on, like I said last week, the psyche or the soul. The psyche, by the way, is where we get our word psychology. But the soul sounds very religious. It sounds very touchy-feely. It sounds very abstract. How can we trust that? I brought up a couple of questions. And we're going to really focus on those questions today. And it might seem a little bit redundant, but it's important for you to camp out on this. I believe that a lot of people just go around depressed or anxious or settle or learn to identify themselves as their problem rather than even acknowledge they have a problem simply because they lack an alternative. And an alternative requires that we make a clear definition between the fundamental philosophical approaches behind our therapies, our processes, our path out. You see, everything is a religion. If you've been listening to my content for very long, then you know that everything is about faith. Everything is a philosophy. As such, then it means that we have to actually realize that we are applying faith whenever we follow advice. When a scientist says, do this, you're putting your faith in their scientific advice. When your doctor says, do this, you're putting your faith in the medical advice. If a therapist says, do this, you're putting your faith in a psychological perspective. If a pastor says, do this, you're putting your faith in a spiritual perspective. So I'm not a therapist. I'm not a part of the behavioral sciences. I'm a philosopher. I'm a pastor. I believe in faith. And so my teaching is in ethics. And so I'm basically breaking everything down into a philosophical construct. Because I believe once you see the philosophical approach, you can best determine the path you want to take out. And that's always been my approach. And so like I've said in the first two things, if you're in a process of seeing a therapist, if you're involved already in a traditional approach, my goal here is not to get you to change, not to get you to ignore, not to get you to change or drop your medication or ignore it or go off the deep end. I want you to stay with it and follow the advice of the doctor or professional that you're trusting. What I'm trying to do is actually add to this a couple of arrows in your quiver, another perspective for you to consider. And that is what this is all about. Finding a path out of our dark days begins at this fork in the road, or like I put it last week, standing on the roof of your house, the precipice. You can fall into the front yard or the backyard. The decision point really presupposes a certain idea about reality. And we touched on that last week. Thus, the path out is ultimately based on one's truth assumptions. You're going to go to the front yard or the backyard based on what you actually believe is true. This means that depression and anxiety are fundamentally truth problems. You see, we've been taught that, hey, those are brain chemical problems. We've been taught that those are behavioral problems. But I'm a philosopher, and I'm here to tell you that they're actually a truth problem. And that may come as a shock if you're only familiar with one of the paths. So I'm here for us to kind of go deeper. So let me explain. If you remember last week, the question was, does the brain produce consciousness? Well, the answer is it most certainly does. See, this is the presupposition of the traditional path. It's proven by the fact that any change to the physical composition or function of the brain will directly impact consciousness. A shot of tequila or a shot to the head can alter a lot, can't it? I was on vacation and I got pulled up on stage during the Mexican fiesta in Puerto Vallarta, and they gave me a huge double shot of tequila. And I had to drink it down in one big gulp, and I did. And let me just tell you, it altered my consciousness. We all know that getting in a car accident or getting shot with a bullet or axe handle to the head, and anything that changes the physical composition of your brain will change your consciousness, perhaps even end it. So the key truth here is that consciousness is a byproduct. That is true. It's unarguable. Right? I'm not here to debunk this and say that isn't true. You see, it just isn't all that's true. It, you know, basically they're saying consciousness, because it can't be empirically defined, it therefore cannot be the focus of therapy. But ultimately, that's what they're hoping to change, isn't it? I mean, a depressed person who goes in to seek professional help, they really want to change the way they see the world, the way they live, the way they experience things. They want them to have joy again, to have fun again. They want them to enjoy their life. Those are all byproducts of a positive consciousness. But they don't always start off by saying, let's talk about your consciousness. They start saying, well, why are you depressed? Did something bad happen that just took the knees right out from underneath you? Were you involved in a trauma? Were you involved in some painful event, a tragic loss? Did something happen that is akin to a baseball bat to the head that changed and altered your composition? Because now your brain chemicals are stuck. Is there something that's preoccupying your mind so much that you can't get rid of it? It's too hard to release, and therefore your brain is stuck on. It's producing chemicals over and over again. That is what they're going to look at. That's the right thing to do. But the depressed person is really only a brain that is emitting depressed brain chemicals in this perspective. Therapy is there to find out why. Now, the other side of the coin that I introduced to you last week is, does consciousness produce the brain? Does a non-physical, unmeasurable thing create the brain or produce the brain we have? You see, scientists don't like that question. And if you're kind of from that perspective, you're probably gristling a little bit with that question, because we're starting to get very close to religion, aren't we? We're starting to talk about myth. You know, now religious people don't have any problem with myth. It doesn't matter if a story is true because of its myth, a mythological creature with wings or horns or something like that. It doesn't have to be empirically measurable or true, because the mythological story is exposing a truth that is true on a higher level, something on a different category. And so myth that produces truth produces a different kind of truth. And so religious people have no problem with this, right? But scientific people, empirically based people, they do have a problem with this. They don't like the idea of consciousness producing the brain. Yet the latest discoveries in brain science and neuroplasticity, which is, if you don't know what neuroplasticity is, it's the brain's ability to rewire itself. These studies are clearly proving that our brains are byproducts of our consciousness. You see, addictions, compulsions, traumas, and countless events create feedback loops where our brain has hardwired itself toward certain responses. That's an important reality to get our heads around, because a feedback loop is the function of our brain and our thinking, and that is your problem and mine. That's mine. When anxiety is a feedback loop, depression is a feedback loop. It's stuck. It's a record that's going around and skipping on the scratch, if you are old enough to remember what those are. You see, many therapies are now including a brain retraining period in order to get certain responses. And thus, many therapies are, working to get your neuroplasticity rewired, whereby the brain, rewires itself forward into a favorable outcome. That's very interesting to me, because a negative thought actually imprints chemicals on the brain faster and much stronger than a positive thought. Pleasure chemicals have a similar effect, and they become linked to our preferred delivery system. So a depressed person is a person whose thinking or their consciousness has gradually formed neural pathways that bias the brain toward feeling bad. Of course, the clinical therapy is to introduce new chemicals until the brain rewires itself. That's what most of brain science is all about. Excuse me. So this begs the question about consciousness. Okay, so we know we can't put our consciousness on a scale. If you're doing an autopsy, you can't surgically remove the consciousness. If your consciousness is there 1 minute, if you've ever been next to a person or an animal that died, you know that their consciousness is there. And then moments later, they stop breathing and they literally die. The consciousness is no longer there. Yet every single cell in that body is still there. The whole physical body is there, the consciousness is not. So life and consciousness are equated. Now, these two presuppositions produce a chicken and an egg scenario, don't they? Yet both result in a chemical manipulation of the brain to bring oneself back on track. And this is an important reality here. It's not like you're going to get out of the requirement to alter brain chemistry. You have to alter brain chemistry. The greatest thing that's going to make you happy in the world is brain chemistry. People figured this out a long time ago when they discovered alcohol or pot or all kinds of weird chemicals and things to smoke. Yes, it alters brain chemistry. It makes us feel good despite our situations where we may not be in a good place. Does the brain produce consciousness? Does the consciousness produce the brain? I'm here to tell you it's not either or, it's both. So what happens if you change brain chemistry, but you haven't dealt with the underlying narratives that created the problem in the first place? Right? I mean, you could go in as a depressed person and be given a drug that makes you super happy. I mean, if you ever had a colonoscopy and you woke up and you're still on that drug, it feels like everything in the world is perfect. Some people say that the nitrous oxide they get at the dentist's office is like happy gas. And, why not just give everybody that all the time? You see, there's something else that's going on. And that's the story that you're telling yourself. It's the story that I'm telling myself. And so what I want to do is get behind that. You see, this is our second clue on our path out. Our second clue is that our narrative, our truth story that we tell ourselves, has far more influence than we give it credit. Our truth story produces brain chemicals. So does a lot of things. And this opens the door to the possibility that if one story brings us to a dark day, then one story must also be able to bring us out. And if that sounds too simple, then perhaps we don't know our story or how to access it or how to change it. And this will be the focus of next week's installment. I hope you'll come back. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.